Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Plant-based cooking is so much fun because you can get messy in the kitchen, you can screw something up, you can fix it, and that's what Scrappy is all about. It's just being bold, being fun, and eating plants.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Welcome to I Am Human. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and it is such a pleasure to have you here today. If you have not already subscribed to the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. And if you could leave a rating and review, that would be even better. And what would make me even happier is if you shared this episode or any other episodes that you think would benefit someone else. To be human means to potentially consume recklessly without regard to the effect of waste. But to be human also means to be mindful and deliberate and to pay attention to how we consume in order to reduce waste and protect our environment. Today, we're going to hear from a channel favorite, Carly Bodrug, who is just amazing. She is the CEO and founder of Plant You. And we're going to talk about her latest book, Scrappy Cooking, 140 plus plant-based zero waste recipes that are good for you, your wallet, and the planet. And it's fantastic. But before I tell you more about Carly, I also want to tell you that when it comes to waste reduction, it can feel very overwhelming because there are so many different things that we can do to reduce waste, to reuse things, do all the things that we can do to protect the planet. And you can definitely go down a rabbit hole of all the things that you can change. But what I want you to do is start with where you're at, let go of any guilt and shame that comes with realizing how much we're impacting the planet with all of the things that we use and throw away, and just start making little tweaks, starting with this book. I think this book is so fantastic, and Carly writes it in a way that is just so compassionate and approachable, and I know that you'll be able to start implementing some of her tips right away. I also want to let you know, if you don't already, that in April of 2020, I did an entire series on the podcast. The podcast at that point was known as Veggie Doctor Radio, but it's still all on the same feed, on minimalism and waste reduction. So that was the whole month of April. I think there was two episodes per week on that topic. Minimalism, how you can go through your house room by room and start to decrease the amount of waste that you're producing in each one. I think for me, the hardest room still is the bathroom with my bazillion products that I use for my face and my hair and all the things. So it's not going to be something that you are going to be able to change overnight. And it's a journey just like anything else with ups and downs and changes and twists and turns. So just have fun with it, do the best you can, and enjoy the journey. So let me tell you more about the fabulous, beautiful Carly. Carly Bodrug is the CEO and founder of Plant You, a New York Times bestselling cookbook and author. best-selling cookbook author. She's not a cookbook. She's a cookbook author and self-taught plant-based chef, famous for her simple take on low-waste and vegan recipes. She's back with her highly anticipated second cookbook, Scrappy Cooking, 140 plus plant-based zero waste recipes that are good for you, your wallet, and the planet, which will be launching April the 2nd to align with Earth Month. The concept for Scrappy Cooking was born from a shocking statistic. The U.S. throws away more food than any other country in the world, over 80 billion pounds per year. This inspired Carly to start a series on social media by the same name, Scrappy Cooking, which shows viewers how to transform commonly wasted foods into delicious recipes. The mission of the cookbook is to help readers save money, reduce food waste, and eat healthier than they ever have before. Boasting over 7 million followers between her social channels, Carly has gripped social media with her simple and delicious low-waste recipes that make plants the star of the show. And this is Carly's second time on the show. We will put a link to her first appearance so that you can hear more about her background and her journey, how she came into plant-based cooking. But in this episode, we're going to focus on Scrappy Cooking. So we talk about what it means to be scrappy, what is the definition of being scrappy, why she's so passionate about Scrappy Cooking. We talk about the statistics of how much food gets wasted in the U.S. food supply, why it's such a big deal, why would we even care about throwing food away in the trash can. She gives us tips about preventing food from going bad, like how should we store our fruits and veggies so that they'll last longer. Best before dates, is that something that we need to strictly adhere to? We talk about what people find it hardest to do when they're starting on their scrappy cooking journey, what is something that they may be resistant to at first, but then start to learn to do. Her all-time favorite, most fun scrappy hack, and her other tips for minimizing waste in our kitchens. It's a very valuable episode. I know you're going to learn a lot, and I hope that you will go out and buy her book. Pre-order it now if you're listening to it before it has been released, and also order her first book because it is plantastic. So thank you so much, humans, for tuning in today. I appreciate you so much. I hope you love this episode and fall in love with Carly. It's not difficult, so you probably will. And now let's welcome Carly Bodrug.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Carly Bodrug, you beautiful human, welcome back to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, and I'm really excited about your rebrand. I love the new name and format. It's just so refreshing.
Thank you so much. And I know we're just going to have a wonderful conversation. Your new book is beautiful. Of course, you did so well with your first book that I'm sure you're feeling the pressure, right? But oh, yeah. It's just so fun to have this theme that you have created for the second book. I think it was just like a natural evolution and something that we definitely need. But before we get into it, let's just start with definitions. What does it mean to be scrappy?
Scrappy to me means that you're willing to take risks. You're a little bit of a feisty fighter. And I really feel like that's what the book is all about. I always say that one of the best parts of plant-based cooking is the fact that the stakes are low. You're not putting a piece of chicken in the oven and all concerned about whether you undercooked it and are going to get sick. I always say plant-based cooking is so much fun because you can get messy in the kitchen, you can screw something up, you can fix it. And that's what Scrappy is all about. It's just being bold, being fun, and eating plants.
I love that. I love that definition. And it's so true. I feel like I lost so much fear around experimentation when I transitioned to a plant-based diet. I just felt so free and expansive. Like, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, whenever I would cook meat before, especially seafood, I was always so afraid. And now we do have evidence that whenever we cook with meat, we're basically leaving E. coli and salmonella and everything all over our kitchen. And there are real risks. There are true risks there. So whenever you're cooking with plants, it's so much better. I think the other thing that came out to me whenever you were saying that definition is resourcefulness. And yes, that's one of my values, is being able to walk in the kitchen, no matter what, if we haven't grocery shopped that week or whatever, see what we have and make something amazing. So do you feel like that's also part of that scrappiness, is just being resourceful with what you have?
Absolutely. So when I was writing this cookbook, Scrappy Cooking, I didn't want it to just be this kind of like encyclopedia on how to use your scraps, like banana peels, for example. We have all that, but really the core foundation of the book are meals that are completely customizable to what you have in your kitchen and to empower you to be resourceful. So exactly what you said, when you get to the end of the week and you have like half a bell pepper, a broccoli stalk, whatever in your fridge, the recipes are super customizable. I actually have a whole bunch of meals marked with a kitchen raid badge so that you can integrate whatever vegetable or produce item you have in your fridge into these meals. And what I really hope is that it empowers people to learn how to cook and be more like risque with the veggies that they're integrating. Because so often, and I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, when people are following recipes, they get really nervous to interchange things. And again, going back to our first point, with plants, the pressure's off. If you screw it up, you can fix it. It's supposed to be fun.
And I call that intuitive cooking, feeling like you don't have to follow a recipe perfectly. But what I love about your book too is that, I guess, you know, when I think about scrappy cooking, I don't know what comes to mind, but I looked at your recipes in the pictures and I'm like, oh my God, this looks gourmet, but you can make it from the scraps you have in your kitchen. So that's really cool. Well, let's talk about, why are you so passionate about this in the first place? Passionate about scrappy cooking and scrappy living?
One of my main motivations for going plant-based was because of the environmental implications of animal agriculture. And it was shortly after I had published my first book that I learned the statistic that stopped me in my tracks. And it's that 30 to 40% of the entire US food supply ends up in landfills. And this is staggering, way more than any other country. And you really think, your mind first goes to, okay, this food is decomposing, that's fine, right? But actually, when it ends up in landfills, it emits methane gas, which is a really bad thing for global warming. Honestly, food waste is actually a bigger contributor to methane gas emissions and global warming than the entire airline industry. So that puts things into perspective, because I think in school we're taught like it's transportation, taking too long of showers. But a lot of this, especially when you think of the plant-based piece in this, comes down to what we're putting on our plates. And the majority of food waste actually happens in the home. So people are throwing away so much food that could be eaten. So not only am I inspired from an environmental perspective, but I'm sure you can relate. Grocery prices are just astonishing these days. Inflation is crazy. I know most people don't get out. I've surveyed my audience and most people don't get out of the grocery store for under $200 per week. So when we think about this as well, it's crazy to think that a lot of us are throwing away 20, 30% of the food that we're buying. So I just became really passionate about this concept of not only eating plant-based, but reducing waste as well, which really is where scrappy cooking was born. I threw up a orange peel candy recipe one day, not thinking much of it, and people just went nuts. So I'm like, oh, there's something here. People care about this. And that got me really excited. And immediately I knew that that would be the concept if I was to ever write a cookbook again.
I love it. I'm so glad you did it. And it really is so heartbreaking to think about the waste, because I know we don't want to do it. Because, you know, you see those memes of like, you know, you're ordering pizza and the vegetables in the back of the fridge are looking at you like, you know, because probably because people think, okay, I can't use those anymore. It's too late. I'm just going to ignore it. And, you know, that cognitive dissonance of me feeling bad about myself for not, first of all, not eating the vegetables. And second of all, wasting the food is painful. So I think more people want to know, how can I be more effective about this? How can I make sure I'm using the food? And if I wait a little too long, can I still use it? Is it okay? So I really love that you did that so that you can help us with that. Okay. So first thing I want to go over is the prevention piece. Prevention is very important. So can you give us tips on, first of all, how can we store our fruits and veggies so that they'll last longer in the first place? So we're not getting to like the wilty, sad veggies in the back of the fridge. And what are ones that we commonly store inappropriately? What are like the big mistakes that we make on storage of our food?
Storage is a big one. And I do want to say before we dive deep into this that, like, I don't want anybody to feel guilty. I am a food blogger. I still waste food. Like, it happens and it is so common, and it's common for a reason. And it's because we're all just so busy and we don't necessarily take stock of the food we have. We have crazy lives. And first, let's start by not placing any blame, right? So when we think about food storage, this is a big problem, and it's food spoiling before we get to it. So there's some big keys here. And I hear a lot of people, the number one I hear is like getting spinach. You get a box of spinach for the week, you put it in your fridge, and then at the end of the week, you see it in the back of your fridge. It was well-intentioned and it's wilting, right? So for greens like that, one thing you can do is when you get home, open the package and put a clean cloth or paper towel in it. And that's going to suck up some of the moisture, which will prevent spoilage sooner. As well, if you know you're only going to use like half the package, you can also put that in a freezer bag, pop it in the freezer, and it's amazing for smoothies. Go one step further, you can blend it with a little bit of coconut water or coconut milk or just plain water and freeze it in ice cubes that you can then add to smoothies. So greens are a really big one. The next one I see a lot of people is cilantro and herbs. They just go bad way quicker than they should. So I always recommend people store things with like stems like that, like bouquets, with water, because they need a water source to stay fresh. So that will help with freshness. And again, they can be frozen. You can mix them with vegetable broth or oil and freeze them so that they become like little herb bombs that you can add to dishes. So utilize your freezer when you can, because it's a great one. So those are kind of like the two I often hear, are those greens. Again, carrots and celery, you can slice up into kind of like matchsticks and store in water to keep them hydrated. And oftentimes you can rehydrate these things. Potatoes, I know they sprout very easily. So when you get them home, if you have a garage, they're great in a cool, dry place in a paper bag, and they'll stay fresh for longer. Onions out and separate from things, because onions can emit like a gas, which will spoil things faster. So if you're more cognizant about the storage, it's going to help, but also getting ahead of it. So if you see something's going like a little bit off, either freezing it or cooking it right away is going to prevent it from growing mold. And then at that point, you're going to obviously need to compost or discard of it.
And yeah, the first time ever, so I like to order avocados from Costco. And when I get them, they're usually rock hard. So we have like this whole system. We wait for them to ripen, then we put them in the fridge, and that slows down the ripening process. And then we start using them. But this week, for some reason, they were all like super ripe. So I decided to freeze some of it. So just yes, take some of it out and freeze it. And then you can use it for certain things. You can't use it for all of the same things you would if they were fresh, but that really helps because avocados are precious. I'm like, I am not losing these gems. So you can definitely do that with a lot of things. I love those tips. Okay. Another question that you addressed in the book is the best before dates. So should we strictly obey those? Tell us a little bit about these best before dates.
Yeah, so best before dates we take very literally in North America, when in reality, they're exactly what the name suggests, best before. So that doesn't mean as soon as the best before date hits that something is immediately not consumable. I want to preface this by saying if there are any signs of mold on your food or a smell, you are best to discard that. I am not suggesting that anybody eat spoiled food, but you should take these best before dates with a grain of salt, because oftentimes something will go past. Like, even I see like almond milk and soy milk will like go a day past the spoilage date, and then people are pouring it down the drain. As long as it tastes and smells and does not have signs of mold, it should be safe to consume. But always do your own kind of test to make sure, looking for those signs before you throw it away.
What do you think is the hardest thing for people to get used to or wrap their brains around when it comes to scrappy cooking? Like, something that maybe is just, it's a little too weird for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to try that. But maybe once they try it, they're like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I think it's this concept of eating food that you might not have grown up eating. I think anything new is intimidating, and like you're a little bit wary of it. So one that I often see is when I tell people that they can eat the stems of the broccoli. So they'll get their broccoli, and perhaps you're paying for your broccoli by weight at the grocery store. And if you're doing that, you're paying for the full thing. The stem is very heavy, and then you're throwing out the stems. So broccoli stems are such a delicious treat. They taste a lot like broccoli. You just peel the really tough outer edge, and then you can slice them into like fries and bake them. I have a really good broccoli stem summer roll recipe in my book where you slice them into matchsticks, similar to matchstick carrots, and you roll them up in rice paper, and they are absolutely delicious. So that's one that always comes to mind where people are a little bit like, oh, I had no idea you could eat that. And then once they try it, they don't throw out their broccoli stems again. You can even just like grate them into a stir fry. There's so many versatile ways that you can have them.
I'm pretty sure that's what they use for broccoli slaw too, like the kind of broccoli slaw Yes. You can buy in the grocery store. I'm pretty sure they're using the stems, and it's delicious.
Hey, humans. I know you want to eat healthier, but feel strapped for time. And even the thought of meal planning and cooking stresses you out. Well, have you considered trying a meal kit service? Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options. You get to choose from 80 plus flavor packed options that allow you to take back time in your kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15 plus new recipes every week. But here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that comes already pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are really simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. What I love the most about Green Chef is that it takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included, so even the less experienced cooks in your house can make a delicious home-cooked meal. It's perfect for those seasons in your life that you're really busy with your kids' sports and school events. Hello, spring! And time is limited, especially if you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table. So if you're feeling frustrated by the lack of time to eat healthy and you are ready to try Green Chef and see how easily you can integrate it into your healthy lifestyle, go to greenchef.com/IAMHuman50 and use code IAMHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/IAMHuman50 and use the code IAMHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with products intended to bring your mind and body back in harmony. They consider themselves a by women and for women company, and they now offer a nutrient-dense green powder called Daily Nutri-Greens. Myself and my staff here at Nourish Wellness all tried the Daily Nutri-Greens and we loved it. The Daily Nutri-Greens contain an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. It also contains other important nutrients such as B12, iron, zinc, and selenium. The Daily Greens are certified organic and all you have to do is mix it with water, but you can also easily add to your smoothies, your oatmeal, or your baked goods. The Daily Nutri-Greens are vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And another bonus is that the packaging is compostable. Yay! When I tried the apple banana Daily Nutri-Greens, I was surprised by the pleasant and mild flavor. It was easy to prepare and drink and didn't leave any aftertaste. And I felt great afterwards. It's really easy to create a daily ritual around your green drink. Integrate it into your daily self-care routine. A green powder is one way to fill the gap in daily nutrition and is an easy and convenient way to get in your greens. These powders are a great way to add more nutrients into your diet during busy times, travel, and transitions in life when you don't have time or access to fresh green veggies. If you're interested in trying Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens, head to myeq.com and use code DRYAMI, that's DRYAMI, for 15% off Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code DRYAMI, DRYAMI, at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is your all-time favorite or most fun scrappy hack?
So my favorite and I think most useful scrappy hack is I have a recipe in the book called Scrappy Pesto, and it uses basically any green you have on hand. So I'm talking radish tops, beet greens, maybe you have some parsley that's seen better days in the fridge. If you throw it into this pesto recipe, I promise you it will be delicious. So the pesto recipe has basil, if you have it, you don't even need it, cashews, nutritional yeast, garlic, all like delicious things blended up with any of those greens. And it is 10 out of 10 delicious. And then also not only delicious, but super versatile. So you can use it as a pasta sauce, a dip for like stir fries, to drizzle over a nourish bowl. And it's so good. And I think one of those things to kind of have in your back pocket in case you see those greens, like your spinach at the back of your fridge, it's like right on the cusp, make a scrappy pesto and give it a new life.
I love that idea because I feel like pesto is often like the opposite. You feel like you have to have the exact correct ingredients to make pesto, which is not very often unless you specifically buy those ingredients. So exactly. It feels really exciting to know that, hey, I could probably have pesto more often than I think just with what I already have in the kitchen. So that's a great idea. Okay, so give us some more tips. What else can we do to minimize waste in our kitchens? I know that's a huge broad topic.
I got you. That's why I'm here. So the biggest thing I say to people before you get the scraps, before you get the food is meal planning is the number one way that you can reduce food waste. And the number one fatal flaw of our society is that we are so busy. So we head into the grocery store with good intentions and we don't have any plan and we're kind of grasping at straws, grabbing things, putting them in the cart, getting them home and then not using them. So having a plan for your ingredients is number one. And this doesn't have to look fancy. When I say meal planning, you don't need a fancy app. You don't even need a cookbook. You just want to look at a piece of paper and a pen. And write down like Monday to Friday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you're somebody who likes some spontaneity, leave like some flexibility in there and then just write down what you think you're going to be eating for the week. So it could be, okay, Wednesday, I think we're going to have a red curry and then I'll bring that for lunch the next day. I think I want some overnight oats this week and whichever else. Then once you've made that meal list, you can make a corresponding shopping list. And before you even head to the grocery store, what I encourage people to do is look in their pantry and fridge and see what they already have on hand. So you're shopping your own kind of supply before heading to the store so you avoid overbuying and duplicates. And then head to the grocery store with a plan. Then when you get home, you can even do some meal prep. Meal prep is a great way to mitigate food waste by actually cooking the stuff that you bought at the grocery store and set yourself up for the week. So that is number one. Number two, I like to tell people every time I'm cooking, and I learned this tip from Rachel Ray, I like to put a bowl next to me. Is so when you're prepping things, you can take the scraps, say it's onion skins, garlic skins, stuff like that, pop them in that bowl. And then I like to take those scraps and put them in a freezer bag and put it in the freezer. When that bag's full, you can make something I like to call a scrappy broth or a zero waste food broth. Anyone listening has probably seen this concept before, but you basically just add all of those beautiful veggie scraps full of flavor into a pot. Fill it with water. I like to add a little bit of turmeric for color and black pepper, really great for you. And you simmer that down for a few hours and then transfer to jars, and you've got your own homemade vegetable broth, and you've really gotten a second life out of those scraps. As we talked about earlier, I would say don't be afraid of the freezer. It is your best friend when you're trying to reduce food waste and can come so in handy. And kind of pairing with that is that I often see people worried about buying frozen vegetables and fruit, but a little known fact is that oftentimes frozen fruit is, it's harvested and then it's frozen almost immediately. So it will often be more nutrient dense than if you live somewhere like Canada, like me, where the berries have traveled all the way from Mexico for days and days, your frozen fruit has actually been harvested and frozen right away. So maintain more of those nutrients. So never be afraid to buy frozen in place of fresh if you're worried that you're not going to be able to consume like a whole pack of berries, etc. So those would be my top tips: meal plan, scrappy broth, and make friends with your freezer.
And the scrappy broth, I think one thing that people don't realize is that whenever we cook veggies, even though we know that we're leaching some of those minerals and vitamins out of there, if you're drinking the broth, then you're retaining that. So what a great way to be resourceful and get all the extra nutrients out of those scraps. I think that's a great idea. Also, using the freezer, because I know here, I live in an agricultural area, so we're lucky to have lots of fresh fruit in the summer. So a lot of people, you can go to the farms and pick yourself, but there's no way you can eat it all. So a lot of people do, they eat what they can and then they freeze the rest. And then all throughout the year, they have those berries, especially blueberries and cherries from their summer memories. It brings the summer memories back, and you can take it out of your freezer and have it all year round. So it's a really great way to use the freezer.
I love that.
What do you wish more people knew about scrappy cooking?
Just how much of the scraps that we buy are really consumable. I think people are so fearful to eat things, but there's wonderful, wonderful, and oftentimes these hidden gems contain more nutrients. Like broccoli stems are a great example. They contain more sulforaphane, this incredible anti-cancer compound, than the florets do themselves. So that scraps often are the healthy hidden gems. One I love that always surprises people, and I'm sure you've used in your cooking journey, is aquafaba. So this is the liquid from a can of chickpeas, and this I like to call liquid gold. Like, it's a magical liquid. And what happens is when you whisk, or like with a hand whisk, whisk the liquid from a can of chickpeas, it will actually turn into a meringue, which is a crazy thing to see. And it makes it also a fantastic, so it's great for desserts, and it also makes a fantastic egg white substitute, I find. So I'll use it to bread things. It's just fantastic. Another one that you can get new life from is pickle juice. Big pickle juice fan. I mean, my husband runs marathons, so he'll drink the stuff, but I like to use it as a marinade. So I have a few different recipes utilizing pickle juice. One of them's a dill pickle orzo soup. Also, you can marinate sliced potatoes in the pickle juice and then put them in the air fryer, and they make the most amazing dill pickle chips. I don't know, do you have dill pickle chips in the US? I think it might be a Canadian thing.
We do. Yes.
So good. So good. So you can make your own, which are going to be healthier than the store-bought ones. And then also I like to use pickle juice to marinate tofu and make like vegan chicken fingers. Delicious. They're like a almost a Chick-fil-A type of thing. I feel like they have a dill pickle something chicken. So the possibilities are endless. And what I encourage people to do is when they get their produce and they have something like radishes with these big greens on top, or carrots with these big greens on top. I mean, my book will come in handy if you have it. If you don't, a quick Google search will lend you whether you can consume something safely. And you'll be surprised at how nutrient dense and how incredible the scrappy world can be when you start delving into it.
I love that. Those are great ideas. And whenever you mentioned the pickle juice, because I have never used my pickle juice for anything.
Really?
With the potatoes, automatically I was like, yes, that is a fantastic idea. And I have 2 jars of pickles in the fridge and I can't wait to use them all so that I can use that pickle juice. I'm definitely going to try the potato recipe in the air fryer. That's going to be amazing. I can tell.
Even salad dressing. Because you can add, if you have like a vinegar in a salad dressing, I like to use like a plant-based yogurt and replace the vinegar with pickle juice. So good. On pasta salad.
Because it's already so flavorful. And exactly. I love dill. Dill is one of my favorite herbs. So yeah, that just blows my mind. That's so many ideas right there. I want to bring up something so funny. And I teased you about this on social media too. I know a lot of people did. It didn't end up in the book. But one of the recipes that went viral was when you used leftover cake cake pops. and like literally I was watching it and I was like, Carly, who has leftover cake? Like, are you the only person in the world that has it was like this whole leftover cake. And then I started looking at the comments and I was like, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that, because everybody was like, we never have leftover cake.
I never let that one down. I have never had so many comments that were making fun of me in the best way ever. My community is hilarious. So I knew a little bit when I was about to post that what the commentary would be. But yes, if you ever find yourself, if you're listening and you find yourself with leftover cake, as rare as that situation may be, you can utilize the dough, smash it in a bowl, mix it around, and then dip in chocolate to make cake pops. Yeah. Or you do it on purpose because it's a delicious like repurpose of the cake. But yeah.
It would be, doing it on purpose might be good because then you're also like working your discipline and willpower. So it could be like a week long test of discipline. And then at the end of the week, you're like, and now I make cake pops and eat them all.
Exactly. But yes, I never let that one down. There's been a few. I'm trying to think of other ones, maybe like pie but that one was, I never let that one down. That's for sure.
It was cute, but I loved how everybody was doing it in the most, good-natured way ever. Oh, but it was like always adorable. We just couldn't identify Carly. That's all.
My community, I must say, my community is the best. I hear a lot of bad things about social media, but as long as my videos stay within like my network, people are always so lovely, so kind, and so supportive. And they sometimes like to make fun of me in the best way, and I love it.
All right, before we get into the deep questions, anything else you want to say about scrappy cooking or scrappy living?
Yeah, I think one of the unique aspects of the book is I do have a section at the front, which is called Have This, Make That, or Something, Eat This, Make That, whichever else. It's basically a visual index, which allows you to correspond the most commonly wasted foods with recipes in the book. So for example, this might surprise you, bread is actually the most commonly wasted food across the world. And I think it's just we buy so much bread and then it will mold quickly. So if you've had bread that's even gone a bit hard, there's so many different things you can do with it. So there'll be a picture of bread and then like a list of all the recipes that you can use it up. I just like that aspect and it's something I've been using in my kitchen since I've gotten my first copy of the book. So maybe something interesting to your listeners there.
Yeah. And for anybody listening who doesn't have a copy of Carly's first book, what I love is you carried that concept over to your second book in that you just made it. Each recipe has the little picture of the ingredients and it just, they're all so approachable and they seem so accessible. And I love how you have those guides. So I really loved that part in the book where you're like, okay, if you have cauliflower, what can you do with this? You know, it was really helpful because we all have those common items that we're like, huh, what am I going to make with this thing? So that's very, very handy. Well, so wonderful. Congratulations. What a great book. Let's get into some of the deep questions and then we'll circle back around and tell people where to get the book. How do you define success in this lifetime?
I think success in your life is living in alignment with the world that you want to see. I don't think this needs to be like your full job or whichever else. I think these are small ways you carry yourself, interactions you have with people in a customer service environment, how you react in tough situations, and also perhaps the passions in which you work on. So for me, I knew when I pursued Plant U full time, I just felt so in alignment with the work and the messaging. And I try to go back to that every time I'm posting a video. Okay, what is the goal here? And it always comes back to wanting people to eat healthier, to eat more plants, to be kinder to the planet. So I think when you can lead a life where you're living in alignment with what you want to see, that to me is success.
Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you thus far? Or is there something left on your bucket list that you'd like to share with us?
I think over the last couple of years, I've learned that your whole life, I mean, I'm very much a workaholic. I love what I do, but reflecting on my life, I want to create more joy and fun. And I mean, it's a quick trip. We never know what is going to happen. And I think that's, I don't necessarily have a career. I don't know where I'm going to be in 10 years, but I want to continue living in alignment while cultivating more experiences of joy and fun in life, because at the end of the day, I think that's what a lot of it, I want to reflect and have these positive memories and not think that I worked my life away as much fun as I have working too.
Yeah, I think that's hard because I can tell that you're the sort of person that you do derive joy from your work.
Yes.
But it's like a different kind of joy. So besides work, what are the things that bring you joy?
I think it's experiences with friends and family and traveling and really like clocking out and being present in those moments, which is something that I would say has been a challenge for me over the last, since I started Plant U, probably in 2015, 2016. This is a challenge for me. So it's something I'm challenging myself to be able to step away and really enjoy moments with friends and family and cultivate like experiences, like perhaps hosting dinner parties and stuff like that. I've been so focused on my work that everything else has taken a backseat. So that's what I'd like to see more of if I'm looking at like kind of the next decade of my life, is being able to cultivate more joyful experiences that have nothing to do with work. Although, I mean, I love my work too, and I derive a lot of joy of it. It's just different, right? It's mostly a solo aspect.
Ironically, though, whenever we start to find more joy outside of work, it actually helps our work. So it 100%. Is kind of all related, you know? But it's so funny that you said that. I just got back from this very powerful retreat called the Lift Retreat, led by Richard Newman and Gemma Newman. You might know Gemma.
Love them. So, I know I wanted to go with the timing with everything.
Next year, I want to see you there. Oh, I want to see you there next year. But it's funny because one of the things we did was talk about the next 10 years, and you brought up 10 years. And that was one of my big things, is presence. I want to give people the gift of presence. And I, like you, get very consumed by my work because I love it and I'm a high achiever. But it does take so much emotional energy and brain power that sometimes when you're with other people, your brain is over there. You know, your brain is thinking about, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to, you know, edit that, you know, come up with this. And you don't give people the gift of presence. So I think it is something that we can cultivate if we're being deliberate about it. And it will ultimately help us in both parts of our lives. When we're with our friends and family, we'll enjoy it more. They'll enjoy the time with us more. But then it'll also help us remove ourselves from our work so that when we get back to our work, we're probably more inspired and more fresh and better for it anyway.
100%. And it sounds crazy, but presence takes practice. Like, yes, you have to intentionally step away and focus on your friends and family. And I think it's harder and harder for my generation, who is so used to the technology and having like kind of that immediate dopamine hit. I find it difficult now to stay present and even, I don't know, play a board game or watch a movie. And I it sounds insane, but I need to challenge myself to enjoy those things in a really present way and rewire my brain. Like that is my objective, because I've gone so far the other way, which is okay. I mean, I love the work and the impact and everything. It's just sometimes you lose yourself a bit in it.
It's like strengthening a muscle too. I feel like we've gotten so used to the instant gratification of social media that now our brains are just like, okay, if you don't have something interesting to say in 10 seconds, I'm zoning out. You know? So it's like really training yourself like, nope, stay with it. And then it will get easier with time. But I like you, because this is my objective every day now when I'm sitting with my sons. Instead of like starting to think about something, oh, come right back, be here, enjoy this moment. It's okay if it feels a little boring, just stay with it, you know? So yeah, super interesting. What does it mean to be human?
What does it mean to be human? I think it's to feel all ranges of emotions. I mean, I'm going through it right now. I can feel every emotion under the sun, and to find the joy in all of it. I think that that's being human, right? And allowing yourself to feel anger, grief, happiness. And it's weird that all of these things can exist at once, right? So I think being human is not becoming numb to it all. Feeling the feelings and experiences, and knowing that joy can exist with pain and one foot in front of the other. I mean, that's my mantra right now. I'm in a bit of a weird spot, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's so true. What a privilege it is to be able to feel all those emotions, even when it's so hard and so heavy and feels like it's going to just consume you, you know? But that is the human experience.
It is, yeah.
Carly, well, this has been fantastic. As always, you're such an inspiration. I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing and just the way that you do it with such positivity and such joy and such compassion for everybody. So thank you for what you do. I wish you the best of luck in your journey of being more present and finding joy outside of your work. I know you can do it, and I'm excited to see you do that. And you know, just so you know, if you need people to invite to your dinner parties, I'm happy to attend.
Always, so, yes.
You know, in case you run out of people to invite. So where can listeners connect with you if they're not already part of your community? Where can they buy your recent book, your current book, and your first book?
Absolutely. So you can find me on any social network at PlantU, PlantYou. And you can look at my most current cookbook at scrappycookbook.com or my first one at plantyoucookbook.com. But if you find me on socials, I'm surely talking about the books. So you'll be set there. But thank you so much for having me on. This has just been such a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, my honor, my privilege to have you on the show. Thank you for everything that you do. And I already know that you will have a very plantastic day.
Thank you. My name is Carly, and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions, and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.